meeting to order. I think we can kind of skip introductions since I think we are all familiar with each other. The public comment opportunity, it wouldn't appear that there's anyone to comment unless if someone comes in later, perhaps we can.
Anything to offer?
We can deal with that. I would entertain a motion regarding the August meeting minutes.
Move to approve?
Is there a second?
Yeah, I'll second it.
Any comments? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. How about if we skip to 1F, administrative matters, 1F1, the budget.
Well, we've had some conversations in the past and with the work that the EDF students had done and their recommendations for trying to move forward with a sustainability coordinator, somebody who has considerable FTE to dedicate to a whole host of efforts. It seemed an appropriate time to suggest that instead of funding an intern, the city use those dollars to offset and direct it toward a position. It's a big risk or big question there. It's not really a risk, it's just a question. I don't know when the council will make decisions on positions, and that's something Michael can maybe cue us in on.
December. Well, there's two steps because we have to set a preliminary levy.
For the middle of this month.
Is it the middle of this month or?
End of this, it's in September anyway.
Which is a screwy thing the legislature makes us do. It just says that the levy can't be.
Greater than.
Can't be greater than that. So I've always said we should set it to 100 billion every year. Because there is no downside to it. Well, and that's the thing, it would just completely blow up the whole system. But it's just a silly exercise that they have us do. But that does limit how many additional staff we can bring in. Now, I think that there's pretty good support for that sustainability position. So that would be my goal. But I think that's one of the things I'm planning on taking to the discussion is the fact that not only this group, but really CUED and a future BPAC could probably also use some dedicated staffing potentially from this position.
Historic preservation.
Aaron's got that for now. Let's leave it at that. So that, you know, there's no guarantees at this point, but I hope that we set a levy that's high enough that we can, get a few positions. I know there's really a need for some additional patrol officers as well, and I think there's a couple of administrative type positions that are hugely key, and and this may be a question for Mitzi, I don't know if we're going to have any role of city funding potential new planning positions or anything.
So. Who knows? I don't know that for some time either.
Okay.
So the point here is, it seemed an opportune time to throw this in the mix and say, you can help offset that and
sure.
Kind of nudge toward that decision. So we'll see where that goes. I just wanted to explain that.
And I
don't think you doubted really where that came from, but I just wanted to be here to ask you a question.
Well, in the discussion, I mean, Mitzi raised this point. 6 months ago, not 6 months ago, when the incumbent left, I think our success at finding interns that were really being independently productive has been kind of difficult anyway. So this makes a great deal more sense, I think, in the long term. How do these two come together? Because your budget is the joint budget for the planning department.
Most of our budget is really through the county.
Right.
There's a very small piece that comes through just city council level decision making, and that's the allocation for energy commission and for some training expenses for planning commission for Q. Pretty minute.
Okay, so
it doesn't enter into our budget. That is a budget expense for the city, but it doesn't come in our budget.
Okay, so when the city says, or the city is discussing the funding, that is in the same way that the Energy Commission budget was funded by them. So you're not intent, you don't have to go to the joint commission to talk about funding if this position is funded?
Right, so, and actually, I'm not suggesting that the city establish a position and then post it here necessarily. There was some pretty good discussion at the
Sure.
City Council Committee of the Whole meeting that if the city had somebody in a sustainability coordinator level kind of position, it should be in an office that has a fairly clear reach across the city organization. We have a great reach across that organization as a partner, but not necessarily in an umbrella kind of
Yeah.
role where we're at the tip of the umbrella and everybody's falling off after them. So I have an appointment with the city administrator to talk about budget stuff next month. And this is one of the items I'll bring up. Again, I don't know where it'll go, but this is what I'm putting in front of them as a proposal and to help advocate for offsetting the expense and for justifying a position.
Okay.
I think it's warranted. I think it'd be a great position for the city to have, but I don't have a vote at the table.
Well, and the commission has you know, discussed, should we be part of city administration someplace too? You know, should this, and that's really what the fellow suggested basically was that the operation be pulled into Public Works or city administrator's office or wherever.
I guess I currently disagree with the city administrator on this one, in that the city administrator wants it in Public Works.
Right.
I'd rather see it in city administration.
Well, so if there's a position established in the city, that's then the time to discuss
Yeah.
moving the commission's
right, because
service
that,
to another place. But
Yep.
step one is a position going to get established and funded?
Right.
And if yes, then where is it housed?
So, anyone else, any questions of
Mitzi
about
our,
where we are?
You know, just as we propose our budget for next year, I think we should budget for the help that we'd like, which in the past has been through some sort of an intern, with a little asterisk by it saying that, you know, this is something that would be appropriately handled by a sustainability coordinator if that were to be available.
Well, Michael, just to back up a little bit, I had to have a proposed budget to city a couple weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
And
right.
So I already put that together, but in the narrative, I suggested that we remove that resource from this
Yeah.
budget and use it to offset a position.
Yeah, and that's yes.
If you're thinking like me, you're in a lot of trouble.
Well, but I'm not thinking like me.
Right.
Any other questions, comments, points, argument? Dissension. Thank you, ma'am. We will wait for further discussion from city administration and what happens. Commissioner activities. Anything that anyone wishes to comment on in terms of what has happened with other agencies or other issues around the community in the last month or so?
Well, in addition to meeting with Patrick Seed from the EDA about this sustainability manager position and advising that maybe there'd be an addition, just bottom bullet points about understanding of the energy action plan that exists already in this particular body. If you have people there really looking to get this filled soon, and I think the closing date is October 3rd for it, so get it out there, I guess.
Yeah.
And otherwise, I filled in for Ray and Michael last night at the Insights on German Energy Transition Salon event in Minneapolis, hosted by the folks who've been putting together all these German energy exchanges. So. Mark was there, and I saw Representative Norton was there from our stuff, and I had a chance to talk to Senator Senjum, who would like to start coming to some of these meetings, our meetings, but I think said to sort of give him an agenda spot, and we'll find the time to do that. And then Ray reached out to him as well to see about having maybe yourself and Mark and he come to maybe do an event here in the community at some point where you can talk about your experience, show pictures, takeaways, things like that. Because there are a lot of people who are interested who don't know what's happened or, yeah.
I can give you a little more of that. So Mark and I have talked about the need to do a download at a committee of the whole meeting. We owe that to the council and any audience who has interest in that. He and I both have a lot on our plates through the end of August, and we'd hope that we were going to hit that in September. I'll see him on Friday and try to strategize a date, but I'd like to do this before, actually in the next few weeks, if we can get our presentation together in time and get on the COW agenda. We'll have a German delegation coming here next month that's part of this Climate Smart Municipalities Exchange Program. And ideally, we get to do this discussion in front of the COW before they arrive, so we can also announce that they'll be coming. And they'll be spending a week in Minnesota, not all in Rochester, because we have five partner communities around the state, and they'll be traveling around. They'll be here for one day. I've already met with a couple people to identify some brainstorm list of tours or things to fit into the day. We find that there is way more to fit into the day than there is time in the day to do. We also want to give these folks an opportunity when they're here to tell us about their communities and not just talk to them, but also hear from them. So in one day, there's not a lot you can fit in. So we're going to meet again and try to prioritize what are the key things that we think we can hone in on in the time frame that we have allotted to us.
Yeah, I think the last, when they were here, whenever it was years ago, I think we had just there was an evening meeting or a dinner meeting at Cascade Meadows. Anyway, there was a public forum that they talked at out there, which was it was very interesting because there were a couple of people raising some significant questions, and obviously they had fielded similar questions back home because they were very, very well prepared to respond to the issues that were raised. So,
and then it's a different exchange program. So that was a bigger, higher level policy,
right.
State, federal kind of level policy exchange, more the focus that Centrum has been quite involved in. And this is really at the community level, where the boots hit the ground and you're actually doing work and how does it get done and what are the challenges and what are the successes? How do you engage with your community and some of those things?
Well, if there was one thing that was clear from last night, everyone's looking at Rochester. Everyone from Commissioner Fredrickson to Michael Nobold, Brian Kornstein, everyone's like, what's going on in Rochester? So, they're really looking at us as sort of this, you know, incredible opportunity to really showcase what can be done if you have the opportunity to start from scratch with a whole lot of state money. So, just put that in your hats for just sit on that for a minute.
Do we have a whole lot of state money? A
lot of expectation here, apparently.
Yeah.
And some odd, you know, three to some millions. Anyway, so the senator obviously was speaking to his own excitement about this area, but I was getting it from all sides last night.
And they're all aware that in terms of the state DMC dollars, we've so far received $0 and 0 cents to work with.
Yeah, I think they're wondering where our gear is.
I haven't even
get
got
in
a,
any one of the gears that, you know,
haven't even got a bunch of t-shirts or anything else.
I got some interesting questions.
The group gets pretty excited when we talk about MoDSHIP targets in the transportation sector, opportunities for energy savings here and energy conservation. And that's an area that I've focused in on. That is the transportation and the land use elements to how we grow, where we grow, and how we serve our community with transportation.
Just because the question was being asked at the Sierra Club last night, is there any, what's the update on the comprehensive plan?
We should have a draft ready in about a month for public consumption.
Good.
Yep.
Mr. Cole.
I received a link to an announcement about the DMC sustainability position. I then forwarded it to Scott Wenzel. He was the fellow with the EDF Climate Corps folks who's over all of those fellows. He responded that he will immediately post it to the alumni list.
Oh, that's great.
Great.
Because that seemed like certainly
right,
this
it's
website.
On the DMC web. If you go to the DMC website, all the way to the bottom, and the tiny
hi,
print.
Hi, Richard.
I just type in DMC.
Yeah. And, DMC.org.
You yeah, might have gotten it as well. The search team
page, it's job opportunities.
Asked mm-hmm. what was the latest, what came of the DMs, the EDF fellows. So I provided them access to the documents that have been distributed so they could at least see that. And
didn't they? They must have contacted you. I didn't,
okay.
I didn't see that. Yeah, okay.
I've been pushing, remember, CERTS had that canopy light.
Right. Yeah.
So the station in my neighborhood, I've been elbowing them to do something, so they asked where that was. So yeah, it was a, oh, and by the way, kind of a question. So.
Okay.
The rumor from McKnight last night when I was talking with one of the folks who's been involved down here was that at least one of the fellows was interested in that position. So
of
that
two?
Might be that local institutional knowledge of the three that were here.
Oh,
good.
We can do a lot worse.
yes, I was impressed by the two we at least met.
I'm sure the third was every bit as good.
Fine.
Brett certainly liked him. He worked with him.
Great. Any other? As I said, there was a Sierra Club meeting last evening. Well attended and. A number of issues being raised about, as I said, where the plan is going to be, and of course where the energy plan fits into that, which I hope we got explained. That was about all that I can think of in terms of discussions in the last month.
Do we have a sense of when the council will be presented with the EAP?
Well, the comprehensive plan in draft form is by the end of the month or thereabouts. So then
we'll do it then.
Well, no, then you've got public comment on that, and then. A final draft, or
depends on how it's received and the directive we're given for how much engagement and vetting there needs to be. And it's hard, I won't be able to read that right now.
Sure.
In mid-November we might have a better idea.
Sure. And people are going to begin to get busy for the holidays, which means that if there's going to be, you know, a public engagement, it's going to have to be squeezed into, you know, kind of the next 6 weeks or something like that to allow people to come to it at all. Okay.
I have one item. I've been looking
into
the digging up the district waste hauling issue. Talked to Richard Fries and his assumption was that we were moving forward with it, taking the information from the report on mm-hmm. Public Works, taking that to City Council, and making a recommendation. I looked at the numbers in terms of energy use, and the impact from the roads is greater than the energy use impact. So that's going to be kind of the driver in terms of savings. From the city's standpoint, but I guess it's kind of in our hands to bring that forth, and it seems like he's in favor of it, from what I can tell.
Ours wouldn't really result in a dollar savings. We were really...
Yep, we're looking at energy savings and
maybe an area
greenhouse gas emission savings. But just in general, in terms of, so, you know, the public savings from the energy use is going to come from emissions, right? And the dollar savings is going to come more from the road, you know, maintenance side. And kind of correlating diesel savings with how much the cost of waste is going to go down. It's hard to estimate based on this. You know, looking at what different cities are doing and what savings they're seeing is a better estimate of how much they're going to save on their bill.
Buried in all of that, is there anything related to reducing traffic congestion and?
Not in that report. You know, I didn't look into the,
oh, no,
the traffic, but
yeah,
it would. But we're only taking 2 vehicles off the road a week, right? So, you know, in terms of congestion, I would say that's my opinion. I'm not a civil engineer, but.
How much energy does it take to repair the road?
Well, that's
yeah, the report that it, you know.
It's just dollars.
The dollar amount, it's, you know, around $20 million over the lifetime of the road.
But about the energy, since we're supposed to deal with energy, even though it's dollars.
So the public's not going to see the dollar savings. The actual companies are going to see those dollar savings. And
yeah,
then they're going to reflect that in how much they charge to the user, right?
Yeah, I understand.
So I guess my estimate is it's going to save around $100,000 a year in just straight diesel costs. You know, there's other costs associated with that.
But does that include the cost to repair the roads in terms of energy?
No, because it's separate. You know,
yeah,
the city pays, or the county pays for the roads and the...
I just see us as looking at the energy usage, not necessarily.
Well,
repair.
You know, and there is energy usage in terms of fixing
repair,
roads,
yeah,
too. It's just all, you know, encompassed in,
yeah, okay,
the cost of the road.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the cost to the county to repair the road, and then there's the cost to the companies to, you know, drive the trucks and maintain the trucks, and that's seen in the bill to the user.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what Public Works did was worked with the engineering department at Mankato on the state has built this model of the wear and tear on the roads from heavy trucks in municipal environments, and that is what Richard has used to make the presentation and to make his recommendation. So
from what we've found, we haven't got a whole lot of information on other cities that are directly comparable to determine what that actual cost saving to the user is going to be. We know it's going to be less. How much less is, you know, it's hard to quantify, but we have a pretty good figure of how much we're going to save on the county end. And to me, it's pretty substantial, but I don't deal with county numbers. I'm not. Have you looked at the report at all, or
no?
I think, yeah. I mean, the, you know, what Helmers is basically has said, as most of you heard, it turns out to be very difficult to come up with a figure that applies to everyone, because every city has a different relationship with where their waste ends up, and they have, you know, their own landfills, their own garbage burners, in some cases their own this, their own that, and each of those is a major driver of what people are supposed to be paying, and therefore making it translate to Rochester with the county waste energy facility, et cetera, is, you know, it just doesn't prove out. All that Michael has suggested is Bloomington dollars were significant for the customers.
And I think it's safe to say that there'd be a levelizing of prices. The bill survey, which was totally voluntary, although we did
right,
have over 400 respondents, did show that the same size container picked up by the same hauler, customers could have from $80 to over $100 prices.
Yeah.
There, There's another part of this too that as the city's looking at the road maintenance needs, you know, and I've been calling out a $1.4 billion
sure.
unfunded liability on that. The issue is that it is possible that by going down this route, we could actually introduce a franchise fee that went directly to road maintenance and still have prices for the community that's lower than what it typically is right now. And I think that was something that kind of made Richard's eyes get real big when we were talking about it. But I think that it's just the options are on the table right now, but it's, I think Bloomington was 26,000 people, 13 million in savings over 5 years, just in the cost of the bills. And I mean, it's you can't directly apply that to Rochester, but it says that, you know, obviously with the purchasing power of the city unified, you're gonna get a better deal. And
well, perhaps what we need to do, and maybe we should put it on the agenda for next month's meeting, is to put together a report and then look to presenting it to the city council and the committee of the whole meeting sometime in November or something, Michael. Would that make sense? I was saying maybe what we should do is put it on the agenda of this group for next month to make a recommendation regarding.
Yeah, I think we have the number, you know.
Yeah, we have what we have.
There's three portions of it. There's the road costs, there's the energy and emission savings, and then there's the potential, you know, contract savings from the haulers.
So
those numbers, they're not real hard, but, you know, we can.
What would we hope to accomplish between now and then that we couldn't just authorize now?
Only the fact that it's not on the agenda and we haven't been, you know, allowed people the opportunity to
if we
to comment about
put all that on paper, which I don't have right now, we could distribute it
that would be my recommendation is let's you know, draft it up, you know, memo less than 2 pages, insert
sure.
the pertinent data, and let's just get that to Richard and the council as quickly as possible, and just using Jeff as our, you know, to distribute it to see if there's any comments when we get a draft version.
I guess that's, you know, that's possible. By the same token, we, you know, should we have it on the, should it be on the agenda before we
It's a recommendation.
True. So. Yeah, I mean, we're not, but we have to, in essence, vote to make that recommendation. And I don't know how many votes we have on the commission to do it. We may have dissenters, who knows?
That's true, we might. I would suggest, though, that for now, we just you know, work on the draft, and when it's available,
right.
Give it to Jeff, and Jeff can pull us. We can do that. You don't need a formal vote for something like this. We're not in a quasi-judicial capacity. You are a bureaucrat's bureaucrat, but you can let this one go.
I still, and you're right. We can take an informal poll of people, but.
So, yeah, I mean, ultimately, I mean,
well, what's the commission's wishes?
Yeah.
Michael is suggesting, if Michael wants to make that motion, you may certainly make that motion, sir.
Well, we can determine if we're going to make a recommendation based on, right, are we going to recommend that they go to a district calling system?
That's my question, yeah.
But you're saying it's not on this agenda.
Now. Yeah, I guess.
So therefore it's not public, what we're discussing. Is that your issue?
I'm saying if we did it in the October meeting, then we could. You want to get it on the, Michael seems to want to get it on the table earlier.
I want to move with stuff. Pressure's on people right now. I like to take advantage of that.
But if we're out of order.
Do we have another business line on our agenda?
Do we have, what, new business?
Let me see.
We didn't put one on.
Items, one each. Mm-hmm. I suggest that we work through the through our staff person. It's the same as.
Are you making that as a motion? That's what, you know.
Well, this isn't an action that requires a motion. That's That's the issue here.
Except if the commission is going to go on record as favoring districting, I mean, I think we need to offer people the opportunity to be heard on that.
You're right. That part is correct. We probably should have unrequired, but still have the public hearing. And
okay, let's do that then. We'll put it on the October agenda, and you know.
But are we saying we will have prior to the next meeting this draft report?
Yes. That we'll have something for people to respond to and comment on.
Is it a problem to, as was mentioned, to poll commissioners if we're able to see this in advance?
It's no great problem to poll people. I just think that it should be on the agenda and discussed, and I think that if the commission is recommending this, that we need to do that as an official action and
that's a good idea.
Make a recommendation to the city council. And once, if nothing else, it gives us if we have any quantum of weight, it puts the commission behind the the recommendation.
If we've got solid numbers, even though there's a range.
One thing I would ask that we include in the memo too is go back to that city council, that committee meeting that we had. There's an audio recording of
that. Yeah, I listened to that for most of it.
And I spelled it out as clear as possible, because I think I asked the engineer who was doing the presenting specifically, is it fair to say that by having multiple haulers, it's costing taxpayers millions of dollars every year?
Sure.
I don't remember what the exact quote was, but he did respond that yes, this is true. And I think that that's something that needs to be hammered on in that report. Because later on, a couple council members were kind of walking it back. Well, it's kind of one opinion. Mm-hmm. And her response was, the reason we brought in the smartest people in the state is so a bunch of the yahoos sitting at this table wouldn't overrule them. So.
You're
politicians. Yeah. I didn't say yahoos.
You're politicians.
Jeff, you have been putting your hand up now.
Right. The point that Corey raised about the response about the energy usage, do you want to have an investigation as to how much money is spent, of that money spent on fixing roads, how much that results from energy usage? Like the cost of gas, diesel, whatever the construction company uses to fix a mile of road. I know that wasn't wasn't part of the report that came from the professor from, but maybe there's some standard, maybe there is a magic ratio.
I just said that only because we're the energy commission, we're commissioned with looking at energy usage. So I thought if there is a number, some way we can get that. That's just
at one point,
shows what we're supposed to be looking at, I think. Not necessarily public works and roads.
Yeah, we weren't. It's an expansion on the idea that was there. In reality, it could be coming from
possible.
Public Works Department too. But
yeah.
As I remember secondhand, how much energy is used by trucks that drive around? That's really what we had as our
that's
goal.
That's what I looked at. But those energies relate back to savings, and we don't see those energy savings, or the city doesn't. The people are going to see that through reduced bills.
Well,
so it kind of comes back to we'll only see the emission savings.
Would just be the greenhouse gas aspect.
Yeah, we're looking at the energy part, and then secondary. Really, ours is just doesn't matter about the dollar savings, really, to the local people. We're commissioned with looking at the energy usage, and then if it translates into savings, that's even better.
At one point during this discussion, and right now I'm not absolutely sure where it came from, but there is the EPA paper that talked about these kinds of issues, and it should be possible to go back and go back and find that. Not necessarily talking about, you know, just the amount of energy that's used to produce the asphalt to fill in the potholes that the trucks cause, but
from these experts that can tell us, I don't know, maybe they have it for every mile, just on average, what's the energy use to create that mile or fix that road?
I think that our high level numbers and assumptions here are not that accurate, and trying to pull them into these lower levels may only take the attention away from the, you know, some of the top level stuff, that this is clearly a good call, you know, based on the data for the community.
Because in the end, the decision would be based on whether it saves money.
You know, the more things that, you know, leave out as many things that people can poke holes at as possible, right, and try and keep the message simple. And this is just one more thing that people can poke holes at, and I don't know if it really makes a compelling change to the case.
KIS.
Okay. The city, activity on the council agenda, I think, what, last week, Michael? They have authorized seeking a contract. We've talked about commissioning of buildings and other things within the city. They are advertising for an engineering consultation on recommissioning the Bio Business Center building because of its changed usage between its original office building sort of model and the fact that it's now being used more by, you know, startups and labs and things like that. And of course, this is in large part, I think, or at least some part, in terms of the B3 results about that building, which should be Rochester's, cleanest building, and it turns out to be far from that. So, got somebody's attention somewhere, and they are going to be talking about recommissioning it. So, hopefully, we'll adjust the facilities and equipment in the building.
That's a very positive result.
I think so too.
Or work. We need to keep it. I'm glad you're watching it, because if it happens and savings results, that's something that we can point to.
And if suddenly next year at this time the building is looking better on the B3 numbers, I guess we can we can certainly remind the council that this is how it came about. Ed and I had a discussion about the where is the Rochester Public School system in terms of their B3 numbers, and my sort of recollection from not that many years ago when Gibbs was in the design phase, having some real issues with regard to energy use in the Rochester School District, and went to B3 and looked, and my God, they were at 4.5 stars or something like that. It's astonishing. So they obviously have cleaned up their act a good deal in terms of what's happening within the school district in terms of their building energy usage. So I think that, not knowing exactly what they've done, perhaps at some point we might entertain a discussion with them about what they've done and how they've managed to sort of turn things around.
Elton Hills School, they just put in completely new HVAC and like massive remodel. That could be interesting a year from now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think part of their, summer has been bringing several of the schools up to date in terms of the energy exchanges and that are now now recommended.
Doing Mayo High School right now too.
Yeah.
They did that at the same time. So the systems they put in, whatever you call it, big tanks of water that they cool it off peak hours, use cheaper electricity to do it. So that's the exterior thing that you see it. They put a now they put a box around it. They used to put a fence around it, but there are tanks inside that box that I know if I was a kid, I would drive my bike right into. So it's going to be dented all up within weeks, but because it's a nice thin box that they put around it, but it's solid. But inside it are tanks that are filled with water, and they cool the water on off-peak hours.
This is in Mayo?
At Elton Hills. You can see it right off of Elton Hills Drive. You just look there, there's this big thing that doesn't look like it belongs anywhere, but it's sitting out in the grass right next to the building.
Does he call those chillers?
Yeah, they're a different kind of chiller. I mean, chillers are used for these things, but they just take that stuff and they chill that water off-peak. And then they use it again and blow air past that cold water.
So they're going to do that. Well, if they ever get the money released at RCTC, they're going to place it right on top of this native garden that I just planted.
But they've been doing that.
So I'm happy they didn't get the money.
535 has been doing that program. They did that at John Marshall quite a few years ago. So they've instituted that type of thinking in those remodelings of the HVAC systems over the last 10 years at least, and been spending a lot of money on that.
They're trying to avoid RPU's charge for.
Yeah.
I guess I'll ride my bike into it. RCTC puts there.
And they do the installation then of the seat, the roofs. That's always part of the program, you know, the styrofoam roofs on the flat roofs. They had that all sitting there too this summer. But yeah, it'd be interesting if you invited someone from. It's a different person than when they started, but I remember in their department that does that, their facilities division, but it's a continuation of a long-standing program they've been doing.
Good.
Rochester is not that hot in the school rankings. They're 114th in the state, about 3.5 stars overall, and that's the reason we're, I think, doing the bio business one is because I kept raising that one as an example of a building that should be performing better than it was.
Yeah, well, it's.
I think they just got sick of listening to it. So, but looking at the Gage Elementary School is considered to be a 5 stars by their ranking with the units they use is KBTU per square foot per year, but just considering relative measures, would be the benchmark would be at about 91 and they're at about 47. So
they're not as good as I thought they were.
It's pretty outstanding. Yeah. I mean, it scores 5 stars on the system.
Yeah.
And you looking kind of going through the schools too. I mean, as you kind of expect, as the schools get the ones that get a little bit older, you know, tend to really see the energy. Mayo is one of the poorest performing. I think they did a lot of work there this year. And what was the other one they did? Elton Hills.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Elton Hills was on. A 4-star one, but I would expect to see that improve as well. I think they're, and then of course, it's interesting that they have Baroque in here, which they have as a very high performing one because it's been sitting empty, so they probably just have the minimum utilities on.
Well, the one that was sort of really problematic when we were talking about Gage was the one there by. Next to the river, north
Riverside
of downtown,
Elementary.
Riverside Elementary, which was at that point the next newest school and just was absolutely terrible in terms of its energy usage. They had, they had obviously taken all of the money that should have been used in energy savings and used it to do something else or just saved on a budget that should not have been saved at that point in time. So I don't know whether they've got that one fixed up at all or not, but.
It's better now, but I mean, all this data is available and if you want to find it, you just Google and do V3 and then RADS and it'll bring up the site.
Right.
And you can you can look at public schools, cities, counties. We don't do particularly well in any of the by any of the metrics, but I think Rochester's been improving quite significantly in the last 5 years in the ratings.
So just imagine what a sustainability coordinator and PACE and the PACE program could do for this area.
Somebody that could focus on it, right?
Yeah.
There will be one more new project that we'll be probably discussing in coming months from the city standpoint. And that would be, apparently RPU is growing. And they're gonna, the facility there I think was built, what, the 80s or so?
88.
And I think they're looking at possibly doing some sort of expansion renovation up there. And if you look at the B3 RADS, it's not a terrible building, not a great building, but hey, if any group was ever gonna hit a net zero building in Rochester, I know it would be them.
Well, I would hope so.
If Sempa lets us.
Yeah.
But I mean, you would expect, it'll be, you know, because we have the liaison here, that'll be an opportunity probably to chat and brainstorm on possibilities.
Does RPU have anything to add to our discussions today?
Nothing in particular.
We have anything more in terms of an upgrade on solar panels?
On solar panels, my understanding is that we're still working with SIMPA on generating, pun somewhat intended, community support for participating in the community solar garden project that they're doing right now. As far as the status of that, I still would need to check with our folks internally. I know that's something they're looking at.
I mean, SEMPA was going to, SEMPA has, or did, have a commitment to go forward with their solar industrial scale, their commercial size facility, as I understood it. But RPU was still going to be doing their demonstration. The one that was initially going to be planted around the building. And then I think there was a discussion that there was going to be moved from there. Just a, 500 kilowatt or something like that system as kind of a demonstration.
I haven't heard a lot of discussion about that internally. Has the board talked about that? Can't recall.
I mean, it fell apart because the vendor defaulted or the vendor backed out, but then I thought that there was...
I don't know if we put the put another RFP out or if we just were waiting on the decision on this community solar portion, because that's a much more substantial piece of infrastructure.
Yeah, the discussion on community solar was largely what was the what was going to be the fee arrangement.
Yeah,
what were people going to have to commit to in terms of
buying?
Yeah, we were looking for a base subscription level.
Right. So that hasn't been...
Well, and I brought up, and we haven't heard back from staff, but I did ask staff to weigh in on the possibility of using internal financing in the purchase of these community solar assets, where basically rather than cutting a check for $10,000 upfront, which some people can do and some people can't, you know, it's... off the bill from, you're paying it down with the energy savings over time. And I think that's something that's part of these discussions with SEMPA that they're probably working on still. It sounds easy conceptually, but that's probably not an easy question to answer once you get into the legalities of what you can do and when you get the transfer of ownership of properties.
Okay.
Is it possible to recommend an update, given your advance notice, to come to the next meeting with the latest and greatest news?
Yeah, we'll see what we can find out and report back.
Good. Good. Question that I raised with Michael, and I don't know whether we have any information whatsoever. Mayo has contracted with and sold their facility out by their northwest location, which is going to become the new database storage for the outfit that Mayo apparently is contracting with to provide records.
Epic's the name of the company.
Yeah, do we know anything about whether that is being or has been constructed to any energy efficiency situation, or how? It doesn't appear that there is anything there to use that waste heat at, which means I assume it's probably simply going to be, discharged into the atmosphere, and which is kind of wasteful.
Well, that depends. You've got about 4 months of the year where it's a problem, and the remaining months of the year you go into free cooling mode where you're bringing outside air in, dumping it in on the units.
Okay.
On the assumption that's what they're doing, that's where a lot of data centers are headed.
Right.
It would actually be a really cost-effective way to run a data center.
Well, that's why, yeah, there's been a couple of them that have been located up in Hibbing and in the northern parts of Minnesota, mm-hmm. I know, just for that reason, yeah.
The only reason looking at the building, I haven't toured the inside, but that I think it's probably running efficiently is I don't see a giant cooling tower sitting outside.
Oh, all right.
And
well,
I don't see
mist
regularly. If you look at IBM, we've actually got a less efficient system because we're reliant on a chilled water loop and a cooling tower chiller system.
Okay.
Whereas if they've got theirs as a whole packaged unit, and the whole building is a data center from what I understand, then
yeah.
It's probably a more efficient operation they've got.
Okay.
But I don't have the inside scoop per se. It's just an educated observer looking at the building.
Okay.
That's quite inside, though.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently RPU is building a whole new substation just to keep the lights on.
I know it's a very substantial load. I don't think that there's a lot of the data on FESA because it is a private company and
sure.
a very competitive industry that they'll try and it probably won't give you a lot of information about the facility, but it is a very substantial, one of the most significant in the city of Rochester.
All right. Well, that is responds to my curiosity about what they are talking about out there. Any other issues? We did not have a great deal on the agenda, particularly in the absence of any further discussion on the EDF fellows reports, which incidentally I think everybody has got a copy of, and I think we put them on the website. If that's have we got them on there, Jeff? Do you remember?
I don't know.
Oh,
said we were going to.
Pardon?
They're attached with the agenda.
Yeah, I mean they were sent to us, but I hope we.
I don't think they're on our website. No, I
okay.
didn't. I didn't do that since they hadn't. I didn't know what the. But we can.
If you wouldn't mind, I think that will give the public the opportunity to see them, or at least to give us a resource to tell members of the public a place to go look.
That's where I had to attach it to share it with the search folks, because
yeah,
in my quick search for it, I didn't find it.
Okay.
Yeah, it really needs to be there.
Yeah, it should be there.
Are we still able to, rephrase, are you able to post anything on our Facebook page announcing its availability? Because a lot of people were curious about it.
Facebook page has been... I haven't done anything to
basically dead in the water.
Yeah, I haven't done anything to it. We can.
Okay.
Have to look into it, but
it's
been kind of a. I haven't been to it. Anybody been to it? County has a policy. I can't go to. I can't even get on it. So.
We talked about it way back when, and I said I'd be happy to maintain it if I can get the
right.
access stuff
yeah.
for it.
Yeah, I have the.
Which then I didn't follow up on. So
whatever the code is, whatever they have to know. What do you have
yeah.
to know? You have to know
just
some
the
name.
Email address that it's tied to and the password, and then I can maintain
okay.
it.
We have that from the intern. So if you
right.
want that, I can forward that to you.
Great.
I always like volunteers. You know, goodness gracious.
I don't have any firewalls or anything nifty that keeps me from wasting time like you do here. So... More than happy.
Great.
Anything else that we would like to discuss for the good of the organization?
What's the status of the Energy Action Plan? Is that just out there and available?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, yeah, it's out there. It's on the website. I know that's on there.
Pending adoption into the full comp plan when it's done.
Right.
So that's the plan, is to provide the council with them simultaneously.
Yep. They actually asked about it. City administration's thinking about it. And that's generally what we thought they would do.
Yeah.
It's adopted at the same time as comp plan. There is a, I don't know, you guys are all into the there's a solar installation going to get built out on Old Highway 14, Conroe 34.
Mm-hmm. It's Novel.
So.
Is it theirs?
What's the name of it?
I don't know, but is that Novel Solutions?
I don't know. We just did a grading plan for it. That's where I saw it.
Yeah.
Well, who's building that?
Yeah. I think I sat next to one of the salespeople from Novel Energy Solutions. I think that's their array. They're at least the you know.
So it'll be on the north side of Old Highway 14, yep. Conroe 34.
Mm-hmm. No,
sandwiched between Highway 14 and
they have a bunch of things out there now.
They should be grading because they have a...
Yeah.
So they got installation of the...
Yeah, so that's panels. What they were setting up, yeah.
Oh, the... yeah, almost forgot. The city of Dubuque is, again, having their Sustainable Cities Conference the 4th and 5th of October. I think Gail and I are sort of thinking of wandering down.
I'm registered.
Are you? Oh, good. Mm-hmm. We should do that. Well, maybe we should carpool or something like mm-hmm. that.
And paid for without anybody here having to pay for it, so that helps.
I've run the last 2 years, and
yeah.
So I was thinking of letting somebody else have a chance.
What day
is it?
Always
a good one. It's the 4th and 5th. It's a Tuesday and Wednesday.
Yeah.
And Tuesday's sort of the long day, Wednesday's sort of a shorter
day,
but great stuff. They have about 6 breakout sessions per hour, you know, per hour and a half or something, and they're all different things, you know, some of it's water management, some of it's energy, really good stuff.
Has Rick committed to going? He said that he was authorized to go, I think.
Oh, I don't know. I hadn't
checked. Sierra Club Rick.
Yeah. And they usually send whoever, they sent Andrea last year. I can't imagine they wouldn't send Rick this year.
Yeah, I think he's probably committed, so.
You have money in your budget.
I know, I want to spend some of it. Good grief.
You should go.
You can be reading.
Yeah, I think we should.
Burst it. If someone, maybe that's what you should vote on.
Authorizing chair and vice chair to go, or you're getting paid by
I'm already paid.
Okay.
So you don't have to pay for me.
All right.
Is there anyone else that's interested in going to that? I can't go this year. I've been to it a couple times. It's fantastic. Would you like to go? Would you like the reimbursement for that?
I'd be interested, and I would need it, yeah.
All right.
Anyone, or I shouldn't say I would need it. I would benefit from it.
Anyone else?
October 4th.
Anyone else? I'll move that the Energy Commission approve the standard reimbursements for these two folks to get down to the conference. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll second it.
All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign.
Abstained.
Being a beneficiary, I guess we'll abstain, yes.
On the point of the 2017 commission budget, will we include in it items like we just voted to spend?
Yeah, that was in there. That was the carryover they took out was the intern.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's $500.
Yeah. Really what Mitzi has done is simply left the budget the same and then is suggesting that, all right, if you're going forward with a sustainability person, then this money could pay $10,000 or whatever we have budgeted for the intern portion of our budget.
It was around 15,000, so it's maybe 10%.
Yeah.
But I don't remember when the early bird deal expired, but it was about 150 for the full 2 days.
Yeah.
When they break it up, you can do just one or the other day. And then they have, you know, lodging deals around town with all that stuff, but it should stay.
Yeah, if you look online under Dubuque.
You can look it up. Yeah. Dubuque Sustainability Conference.
Yeah, Dubuque Sustainability Conference has the details and the reservation stuff and all that information.
Nice thing is meals are included and all that too. So it's...
Sure.
And do make sure too when you're there, there's a few opportunities to get out and see some of the sustainable things they're doing in the city.
Mm-hmm.
Take those tours as they are.
Yeah, I think they had a even was it that the last after there's an organized tour of, mm-hmm. of those.
That's an optional.
Yeah.
It's amazing the way the city works though. I got in there late the night I went down last year and ended up at this dive bar that just had, I think they were famous for their taxidermy, and man, had they gone all out. But I'm sitting there, and the bartender asked me what I was doing in town, and I said I was there for the Sustainable Cities Conference. She said, yeah, we're really good at that here, and started naming off things that she knew of. So it's a big...
Remarkable.
Yeah, mm-hmm. People have really embraced what they're doing, which is pretty good. Cool. People you wouldn't expect.
A big portion of their sustainability person is dealing with outreach and community involvement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a big community buy-in, which is helpful.
But of course, there's also, and we can gossip after we. Yes. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn then. I was going to say that.
Second.
Some of you.
Second.
Or
adjourned. It's not debatable.
It's not debatable. We need second.
I was going to say the previous plumber that we had out earlier this afternoon, because we take our garbage cans down to the end of the cul-de-sac and leave them for the truck to pick up so it doesn't drive on our vulnerable asphalt. But he asked why we were doing that. And I told him, he said, well, yeah, I've been trying to, he said 20 people or 25 people or something like that on his cul-de-sac. And he said he's been trying to put together a single hauler agreement among his neighbors and has had absolutely no success. You know, people don't want to give up their hauler and all that. So he was asking about, well, where are we in terms of districting or something?
You passed on to me as a result of a survey done by that one homeowner association that tried it. They needed to get a 75% approval rate, and the way the numbers worked out, it was 74 point something.
Oh,
it was like 28 out of 40 or something. And it was just so despondent. But clearly they had almost 75% of those respondents.
I wanted to pay my bill at Advanced a few weeks ago, and they have a Conservation Minnesota sticker in the window of their business thing with no discernible relationship to us or with us. So I'm going to try and find out what that's all about. And then form one. And then sponsor our recycling.
Tell them you want money. Good girl.
That's right. They're going to pretend.